but I want Marie to share something. I love it when revelation comes and the Holy Spirit moves upon us and gives us some insight into some things that just causes you to get excited in the inside when that revelation comes.
In the book of Joshua, the last week or 5 or 6 days, whatever it was, different times when I'd open my Bible, it would always open on this one spot. And I just kind of glanced at it, and I didn't bother reading it, and I kept on looking for whatever I was looking for. And this morning, it opened to the same spot again, and I said, there's that same passage. So I thought I'd read it. It talks about when Joshua had led the people into the land of Canaan, and they were to drive the Canaanites out. Some of them didn't. They put them to hard labor, which was disobedience, because they were supposed to chase them off the land. And Joshua, the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are our great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now? And Joshua said, if you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. And these different ones were coming, and they were wanting more land or wanting a different place, and he just kept saying, well, you know, go and get it, go and take it. And then when I get into chapter 18, starting at verse 2, but there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land? In other words, when are you going to get it together? When are you going to go and take it? And something went off the inside of me that just the Holy Spirit just felt like a blew up inside, you know? Sudden I had revelation that Jesus came to give us life abundantly to the full till it overflows. And that would be, you know, that abundant life would be like living in Canaan. So when Jesus died, he left that inheritance here. He didn't take it back to heaven with him. He left it here for us. So for some reason or other, we hesitate to go after it. We keep praying and waiting for it to come and pray that it will come and everything. But what they're saying here, what I felt the Holy Spirit was saying to me, when are you going to go and get it? When are you going to go get it? Like you can sit there for years and say, you know, please send it. But he's saying it's there. Go get it. And if somebody dies and leaves you an inheritance, sometimes somebody will arise and contest the will that they don't want you to have that money or that whatever's being left to you. It could be a house or whatever. Some people will contest that will. Well, guess who's contesting our inheritance?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The enemy. Yeah.
The devil is contesting for our inheritance. And it's time that we just told him that's not his place, that's our stuff, and we're going to take it back. And we just got to go get it.
Amen. In that particular verse, in verse 3 that she mentions here, it says, how long will you neglect to go and possess? And so many Christians are neglecting their rights and privileges in the Lord and in the kingdom. And we gain possessions, we set out to grab a hold of some of those things of the kingdom of God by coming and learning some things about the kingdom and how to kingdom operates and so forth. When Don Cantell on Sunday, when he was sharing a bit about the kingdom of God, it stirred in my spirit so much once again of how important it is for the body of Christ to understand that the kingdom of God principles, that we are to actually function on a level that reflects the kingdom of heaven as opposed to the kingdom of this world, because there is a kingdom, and this world kingdom has certain ways of doing things and certain ways of doing the entertainment scene, the political scene, the health scene, and all kinds of things. But kingdom of God system has a different way. Kingdom of God system looks at entertainment totally different than the world. And whenever we open our eyes to the fact that the kingdom of God is so real and so tangible, even in our lives when we're here, then we'll begin to develop in much greater ways than we ever have before in seeing the kingdom of God come to the earth. Well, before we go any further, I'm just going to pray. Just a couple of things I want to share, but I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come first and just guide us. I think it's so important not to neglect the invitation process of inviting the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for your goodness. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for the wonderful Holy Spirit that you have given to us, God, to be not only our comforter and our guide, but the one who leads us into all truth. Thank you for his presence. We sense, Lord, his power even amongst us, God, as he mightily works within us, as the Apostle Paul has declared, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit will lead us into the things that you would have us see, the things that you would want to reveal to us. He would bring revelation to us and even show us things to come. And Father, we thank you so much for sending him to us. Thank you, Jesus, for asking the Father that he might send the Holy Spirit to us. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you so much. Teach us, train us, grow us up in the things of the kingdom of God, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for it. Amen. I'm reminded of the words that where Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within each and every one of us. And sometimes we work diligently at things on the outside, trying to prepare things on the outside. And, you know, we spend most of our lives actually doing things that will prepare us for our last golden years in life and so forth. But so many times we do that at the cost of developing the kingdom of God that is within us. And I am convinced that as we develop the kingdom of God, like I believe in that scripture that where it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I'm convinced that one of the greatest inheritances that you and I could ever leave for our children would be that if we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, begin to function, operate in the kingdom of God at a high level, and impart that to our children. It's worth far more than silver and gold. And the only way that you and I can actually do that is if we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change us, and then we, through by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to minister out of who we are or out of what the Holy Spirit has done in us. Catch a hold of that, because that's very important. You can go to someone and hear a lecture, and you can be taught, and you can learn some things and begin to understand some things from a cognitive sense of view. But to impart something means that you are close enough to them. You are able to impart the work that Christ has done in you to others. And I think particularly if you think about especially children or grandchildren, and you can go into a situation where in your own home, for instance, and if you're a father who is very angry, and you might be able to say nice things to your children, and you might not even express that anger to the children, but deep down you're very angry. Through the process of the being together with your children, there'll be an impartation take place, and those children will be influenced by the anger that you're trying to hide, even though you're not allowing them to see it maybe. But because of who you are, because of what you carry, that will have an influence on your children. And so when I look at things like that, I think, God, I want you to change me. Because I'm come to the same stage in my life that I'm not so much as interested in necessarily taking only the word of God and teaching a lesson. I want to be a lesson. I want my life to be imparted into others. I want what God has done in my life to be imparted to others. Because I know that is the only thing that's really going to amount to a hill of beans when it's all said and done. Because when we're up there in heaven, nobody's going to care what we did here in the natural, really. And that's the truth. It's amazing how we spend all our life. You know, we live in nice homes and drive nice cars and do all that kind of thing and spend a lot of time doing all that. But when we leave this planet, that's going to mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only thing that will mean is what we have allowed to pour out of us while we were here on earth that will actually influence and affect other people for the kingdom of God. I remember hearing Brother Kenneth Hagin when his sister died, and when she died, he had a vision of her. I guess the day of the funeral, he said he was lying in bed and he was thinking about his sister, and he was thinking about where she was at right now. All of a sudden, he was caught up to heaven. In heaven, he met his sister, and he talked to his sister. One of the things that she said to him, she said, Kenneth, Don't be hard on yourself because you weren't able to believe for my healing, because he had been praying and fasting and so forth for healing. He said, go back now and minister to my son and my daughter. She spoke a little bit to him, and God gave Brother Higgins a vision about how to bring healing to her daughter, who was very sick. And anyway, that took place. But backtrack a little bit. What I wanted to get across here was her sister said this. His sister said, up here, we can see certain things down on earth. And when you speak to my son and he begins to turn to Jesus, I'll know that from up here. So we don't care about any of the material things that are taking place upon the earth. But we can see what happens in the spiritual context. And we're able to see when people make a commitment or dedicate their lives to Jesus. You know, that speaks to me about the book of Hebrews when it talks about that great cloud of witnesses that we have watching us, watching what's going on down here. And they see when we make an advancement in the kingdom of God. They see when we grow up spiritually. That's wonderful to know that we got a whole, you know, multitudes of people cheering us on. I'm convinced they are cheering us on. When we make a mistake, you know, it doesn't bring them joy, of course, but when we turn and do the right thing in God, I'm sure that they rejoice. But they're watching us. They take notice. Those are the only things that's really going to count when we get to heaven. I'm trying to meditate on that a bit more, you know, because just of the fact that we spend so much time worrying about stuff down here. Trying to grab a hold of what we need and so forth down here. Trying to make a, quote, better life down here when we're missing the very real treasures. Jesus made the statement, he said, you know, if I can't trust you with the little things in life, how are you going to be trusted with the true riches? As we are living down here and we are diligent in being good stewards in with things that God brings into our hands down here, he will be able to trust us with the real riches. In other words, I believe he was saying the things, you know, the things that we enjoy down here, the money you might have in the bank or the our houses or cars or whatever, those are not the true riches. Those are not the greatest riches. But if you'll handle those correctly, I'll be able to trust you with some greater things. See, this world, I'm convinced, it's all set up in order to see how we will steward what God gives us in the natural. In fact, some of the things are so precious. Some of the things of the kingdom of heaven are so absolutely precious that he can't trust them with us until he's trained us. And he's using this natural realm to train us to be good stewards. In other words, if we are going to take some things that we gain in natural and use them for wrong purposes, then he's sure not going to give us the true riches of heaven. There's some things that function and operate in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God's system, that can be used in negative ways. The anointing, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and so forth. There's an anointing that comes from heaven, and it's precious. The anointing of God is precious. When God gets on us, it's precious. And there's an anointing for people to stand in the fivefold ministry office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And I remember hearing the story one time, reading a book out of a book called Happiest People on Earth by Damon Shikiri. He walked in the ministry of helps, and he used to get some people, evangelists and so forth, to come and hold ministries or hold meetings in California. And he got this one man who was very powerfully anointed to lead people to Christ. He brought him there and they had a meeting, and it was a large meeting. And he said when he gave the invitation for people to come to Christ, it was amazing how people would come and be saved. The anointing would fill the room and so forth. But this man, this individual, he also had a hunger for money. When they were closing the meeting, or about to, after they had the altar call, he took the two offering baskets and set it up on the stage, and he started using that exact same anointing to tell people to give. Damon Shikiri was saying that anointing was so powerful that people were coming up and dumping money in the basket two or three times. The same anointing that was used to call people to Christ, he began to use that in an ungodly way to get people to put money into his own pockets. Now, if you can't be trusted with the everyday things, you're not going to be able to be trusted with those things because they can be misused. And it's the thing, they can be misused. And that's why, when it comes to Christianity, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. You know, in the end days, the scripture clearly shows us that there's going to be all kinds of signs and wonders taking place in the earth. Lots of them. And it won't be all God. The demonic will be active, very active. The only difference will be, do you love Jesus or don't you? Excuse me, do you love Jesus or don't you? So when we are sharing some of these things, we're talking about functioning in the kingdom of God. We're talking about doing things that will help us grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the fact that Jesus died and saved us, but how to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. There are some very real benefits. Remember Psalms 103, where it says, do not forget the benefits. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Well, where are these benefits coming from? They're coming from the kingdom of God. He forgives. The benefits are clearly defined there in Psalms 103, that he forgives all our sins and he heals all our diseases. True treasure, things that come from the kingdom of heaven. And you and I are learning to walk in those things and be beneficiaries of the benefits of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom privileges, I should say. Just the same way as we have privileges here in the nation of Canada, we are citizens of Canada. When we go even to other nations, we have privileges because we are citizens of Canada. In other words, we've seen it happen in Lebanon when the government of Canada went and provided a transportation for many, many Canadian Lebanese to come back to Canada when they were in war. That was a benefit of the nation of Canada. Well, you and I are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and there are certain benefits that we can grab a hold of. And it's not just coming to church. There's a whole lot more to the kingdom of God than just coming to church. We can learn about the benefits sometime when we come to church and so forth, but the real benefits are grasped in our everyday life when we recognize that as we change on the inside, things are going to automatically come to us. For instance, Jesus said, do not judge lest you be judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. So that is a principle, a spiritual principle. Well, if I recognize that spiritual principle, if I don't want people to judge me wrongly, then I better not judge people wrongly. If I do judge people wrongly, you can bet that I'm going to be wrongly judged. Now, that is a principle, a spiritual principle that works whether you're in the kingdom of God or not. It works all the time. There's a spiritual attachment that causes these things to take place. And so when Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged, he's actually saying, I'm speaking to you now, trying to bring some betterment into your life. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get you into a place where you won't be judged. So don't judge others so that you won't be judged. So if we abuse that and begin being mad at people, being annoyed at people in life, then we're going to reap that. You know, that's going to come back to us. One of a great example of that, I know individuals, and you all do as well, I'm sure, but I can think of, I've seen this happen where a man might have the attitude through one circumstance or another where insurance companies are all crooks. And they'll say that over and over again. And I can think of one particular person. I have never seen anybody in life, it seems like, the insurance company not honoring their commitment to him. He thinks they're not honoring him because they're all crooks. I'm convinced he's reaping what he's sowing. If you're convinced they're all crooks, well, you're believing that they're going to rip you off. And so your faith is being exercised so that they'll rip you off. And this is a spiritual principle. It works every time. And I'm convinced if we turn around and realize, speak instead of cursing, we speak blessing. We'll reap blessing from those curse. We'll reap blessing from blessing, I should say. Praise God! But this—that's a kingdom principle, and these are the things that we're trying to get a hold of and trying to learn. There are awesome spiritual principles again in the scriptures, even concerning health. I don't know why I'm kind of going off in this direction tonight, but I feel the Lord leading me, so I'm just going to kind of follow this little path for a couple of minutes. Here's an awesome principle in the kingdom of God. Awesome. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, there's a powerful principle in that. Trusting in the Lord, leaning not on your own understanding. Something good is going to come out of me not trusting in what I know only. Trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, you're trusting in the Lord in this particular path that where you want to go in, but yet your understanding doesn't really compute with where you think the Lord is saying. And so this scripture is saying, put your understanding in the back seat and trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. So if we trust in him, he's going to direct our paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This can deal with pride as well, the pride of life, that we can think we're somebody, either from our great knowledge or some of the things that we're used to doing, that we know how to do it. We think we're it when we're not even the dot many times.